this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on a hit in the air. The deep center. Fetch back. Away back. Yeah. She is gone.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of 161st Street Podcast. We are moving on, aren't we?
We are fucking moving on, boys.
We're fucking moving on.
Woke up feeling great
Woke
today.
Woke up feeling fan-fucking-tastic this morning. This episode, we have a lot of good things to talk about, luckily. Could have been some bad, but didn't look like there was ever any bad in this series. Was there, Murph?
No, nothing bad. I mean, it's hard to say there's anything bad on a three-game sweep. There's always some stuff to nitpick, but this is as good as it could have gone. We're going to have as much rest going forward as we possibly could have had. And it also helps that, you know, Houston has at least one more game than we had to play.
Yeah, and not, I mean, barring that fucking stupid fluke injury by Chapman and Britton, but he's probably I mean, the way this series has been going, the season's been going, like, Escaping this series with only 2 and 1.5 injuries, I'm very okay with that.
I wouldn't even call.
Consider they're both probably gonna be fine.
Yeah, I mean it's not really injuries if they're both gonna be playing in the CS.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we're gonna get to a lot of things. We're gonna recap a lot of the games. We're gonna talk about how Grinke kind of blows. We're gonna talk about Britton's ankle, Chapman's bottle. We're gonna talk about who would have pitched in Game 4. A lot of other things. We're gonna get into it. So why don't you start us off here, Brooksy?
The recap of the series.
Yeah, I think
on the team
last weekend
and like Columbus, and I think I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a bit of rust. Games in a row. However, we'll get into Tanaka too. His playoff Tanaka is no longer a phenomenon. It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. He just loves the playoffs. I'll get to that in a second. But I mean, Paxton, to me, it's a lot of these guys who haven't played in the postseason, it's a different animal. Like, you got to get used to it. And that goes for Seve. Like, you just got to get nice and lubed up, you know? You got to get into the game. And Paxton, we were at the game, and he...
It's basically a whole new season.
Yeah, you could see he was a little nervous giving up. And he loves... This is just a trend throughout the season. That first inning home run shit, he did it again. That Polanco home run was in the first inning.
I got to admit, I held my breath. I held my breath at that one, and then once the third inning, I think, came around and Cruz hit a home run, I kind of took
That was a cheeky home run, but it also wasn't. It was kind of a bomb. It looked cheeky from our perspective, but I saw the highlight, and it was
That's also something we knew was coming, though. Paxton had a 9 ERA in the first inning all season. He gave up 12 home runs.
Do you know his ERA after?
What do you mean?
Like, after the first inning?
I mean, it's just whatever is, you know, I don't know.
No, it must be lower.
Way lower, significantly lower, because he had a 9
ERA. That inflates it, yeah.
So that's, I mean, if you think about it, that's probably basically a run. That's a run an inning, basically, yeah. Essentially. And that, I mean, kind of sucks. I don't know why they haven't. Let me pose this, then.
Yeah.
Do you ever see a situation where we might use an opener, or when we use an opener, have Chad Green throw the first and then bring in Paxton?
I don't know.
Is it a similar mindset,
I'm thinking like a game 4 against the Astros.
I mean, it's not a bad idea, but at the same time, is it really that much of a difference if he's just coming in? Wouldn't it just be his first inning at that point is just the weaker inning, or is it literally just
Because it could be literally just him coming in and getting the jitters out, and that might be the second for him if he comes back in the first inning.
That just sounds like it could be a waste of Chad Green in the first inning.
And Chad Green, I think the opener thing was getting Chad Green back. And Chad Green's confidence is back. So I think the opener
especially after last night, dude.
Yeah. Because I think it was just about him coming in on a clean slate, you know, versus coming in as a reliever who comes into high-pressure, high-leverage situations.
Right.
Which isn't necessarily good for him. I think getting his confidence back was the main thing in doing the opener while also dealing with starting pitcher issues. So, I mean, if anything, I mean, it's the playoffs. Everyone's going to throw like Eovaldi did last year until your arm falls off, and his actually did fall off. They're just going to keep that rotation going of those top three. And those top three, everyone's like, yo, I don't know if the Yankees starting pitching is good enough. It's fucking good enough. And especially when you pair that with the best bullpen in baseball, that's a great thing to lean on. And I was saying this to Kev yesterday. I was saying... I would honestly take a if you had a choice of the number one bullpen in the league and the number one, all right, basically us versus the Astros is a perfect scenario because they have the best starting rotation, we have the best bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And then both are a little average.
Vice versa, yeah, they both have about above average.
Yeah, they have about above average bullpen.
Our starters are about as good as their bullpen compared.
Well, Presley and Osuna for them are both ranked recently like the top 10 of like five different.
They're regardless, their whole entire, but exactly the same for us with our starting pitching. So my point is, like, would you take the better starting pitching and the worst bullpen. And, or
take the bullpen?
And I would take the bullpen because if you have the starter, no, every single starter, any human being on one given day could have a bad day.
Yeah.
And you can lean on a bullpen full of not one human being, but four or five human beings, and one of those bullpen guys could have a bad day. But then you have some shit like you pull Ottavino after four pitches, which we'll get into later. That was fucking stupid.
I mean, yeah, we can talk about that in a second.
My point is, like, there's human error. So if you can combat that with a bunch of guys who can give you innings and maybe one guy will be off, you can bounce to the next guy. With a starter, if your guy has a bad day and you don't have a good bullpen to lean off of, you're fucked.
Yeah. It's just like a very proven thing. Like, bullpens win championships in the playoffs. Yeah. When it comes to that, look at the Cardinals. They've had pretty good starting pitching in there.
You love the Cardinals.
They're there every year.
I'm just saying this year specifically, their starting pitching has been really, really good. And they've been just battling against the Braves. And then once, what's his name? I think it's Carlos Martinez.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's given up like seven runs in the series.
He just recently blew it, right?
Yeah. Literally every time he's pitched, he's given up a run. Like, and he's supposed to be their closer because, what's his name? Somebody got hurt.
Andrew Miller, right?
No, not Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller's never really been a closer. He's just been like a setup guy, usually like Nathan and guys.
He's on the Cardinals, right?
Yeah. But he's not the one I'm thinking of. Somebody was hurt, and regardless, doesn't really matter. But he wasn't supposed to be the closer, and then he ended up being the closer, and he was doing pretty good in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, he's just blown it. And the Cardinals could have put away the Braves by now if Carlos Martinez wasn't terrible. So, like, your bullpen, if you have bullpen and bats, you can get away with spotty starting pitching. You can give up three or four innings through four or five innings. And then, you know, the second half, you can shut down with the bullpen and get the bats going. You can win a World Series that way.
I mean, that's what the Yankees' formula. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. The Yankees' formula forever, as long as we can remember, has been bullpen and bats.
Yeah.
Worked 27 times, so why not one more?
Get through the first five innings. That's all you need out of these starting pitchers.
If
Paxton and Tanaka and Seve can do five innings, one run, seven strikeouts for five innings, that's great.
Especially if they've done that.
That's what they've done. That's the formula that's been working, but we need it to continue against Houston.
And because these bullpen guys can throw every day. It's the playoffs now.
They can play every day, but the issue is, like I was saying before, you can't have a guy like Severino put you in that position.
What, you mean put him in a hole? Like him go him in one inning and then just...
We've seen it happen before. We can't have a hole against this team.
I think if we can survive into the fifth inning with less than two runs given up in each game, we have a very serious chance of beating Astros.
I mean, because the bullpen is buckles. Like, when the bullpen comes in, the game's over.
Also, when we're talking about the Astros, I'm literally not even moderately scared of Zach Greinke. Garrett Cole.
I've been saying that. Garrett Cole. I've been saying that since the trade deadline.
Verlander, petrified.
Cole,
Zach Greinke, nah, not really scared of him. The reason he didn't come to New York and the reason that he left off tons of major cities from the list that he wants to go to, he doesn't like major markets. He doesn't pitch well in these big situations. He's not a historically great playoff pitcher. He's actually pretty notoriously not a good playoff pitcher. And he's going to Houston. He wasn't even pitching in Houston. He's pitching in Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg, Florida, probably the smallest market to throw in an away game in Tampa Bay. And he got, you know, teed off on.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good pitcher, but...
That's what happens when you have a 68-mile-an-hour hanging slider.
Zach Greinke got paid pretty significantly more this year than the entire starting lineup for the Rays when he pitched against them. I think it was like I don't know. I saw it earlier today. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he got paid more than the entire Rays starting nine this year.
I mean, the Rays have the lowest
salary cap,
don't they?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy that they're making this. Are they the new Moneyball?
I don't know. I mean, they kind of did with
Billy Bean.
I mean, they have by far, I think I was reading a thing the other day, they have by far the most trades and acquisitions this entire year out of any team.
Everyone, they make good moves. They're a good team.
Tommy Pham was a good pickup for them from the Cardinals. The Cardinals got rid of Voit and Pham. I mean, granted, they have Goldschmidt at first now, who's better than all of them, but
This cat's bugging out. It just keeps jumping. Sorry, folks at home. It's just jumping on top of us and clawing. All right, maybe we need to find a new superstition.
Yeah, so
this cat. Just,
yeah,
that,
look at this
that's
guy.
That's the clip that we're.
Yeah, sorry. Pod kitten all over me right now.
Pod kitten.
Yeah, so let's move on to game two because I do have some stuff to talk about with Tanaka. Tanaka is just proving still. And just, I can't even focus.
You look like
this
a fucking pirate with a parrot on your shoulder.
Wait, let's do the Edwin.
The Edwin, put it on the shoulder.
Come on, come down on the shoulder.
No, she isn't she doesn't want to fucking do that.
Yeah,
all right, let's move on. I can't even be serious with that.
All right, we should probably cut some of this out. But basically, Tanaka is just continuing to be dominant in the playoffs, and it's exactly what we need.
Dude, it's no longer a phenomenon. Like, it's a real thing.
Yeah, he's just second half
in postseason Tanaka.
Yeah, dude, he has a 1-5.
Every year.
I swear to God, Tanaka doesn't talk to his entire family. Well, he gets so locked in for the game, he doesn't talk to his entire fucking family.
Tanaka probably pulled a Heath Ledger and just goes to a hotel room and just isolates himself.
He literally goes in a corner and just stares at the wall all day and listens to heavy metal. Like, I don't know what the guy does. It's just, he does something different that gets himself in such a mindset that he doesn't fucking care about human life. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he just moved.
Masahiro Tanaka, how many innings did he go?
I could find out very quickly.
Whatever it was, that'll fucking do it.
Yeah, no, he did exactly what he needed.
He's our best postseason pitcher right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're thinking about a Game 7, assuming everybody is rested...
So do you,
I'd go with Tanaka.
Do you? All right, so let's go to the next series, whether it's against the Rays or probably the Astros.
Tanaka, five innings.
Do you go Tanaka
hits.
Game one? Did something
No. I still think we go Paxton game one.
You do the parrot.
Rella.
She shook.
Tanaka had five.
We're going to get PETA on.
Five innings, three hits, one run, one
walk. How many?
Walk.
Five?
Yeah, five innings.
I think that's the trend. I think all of them are going
about
five.
They all aim for five because they know if they can get to the fifth that the bullpen will lock them down.
Parrot.
Click. And I think something differently that Boone has been doing this season as opposed to the last. Get this cat out of here.
Oh my god, no.
As opposed to years past in the postseason, he's starting to like make the leash a little shorter on the pitching staff.
Which is what he needs
before,
to be doing.
Before something that they criticized him was saying that he left him in too long, like an inning too long. And that inning blew up.
Yeah, because if you take him out after that last strong inning, even if you want to squeeze one last inning out of them to try and preserve your bullpen, you got a guy like Tanaka who's just so in his own head, you need to leave him on a happy mindset. If he can, if he's at 80 pitches in the fifth inning with no runs, pull him.
Before damage, and that's the best part about having this bullpen.
We have enough bullpen depth to last the rest of the season.
The bullpen is the
main
thing. That's the main, like, securing factor with, like, you can lean on that on any given, even if he's dealing. All right, I'll give you a scenario. Let's say Paxton is absolutely fucking dealing. He's got 80 pitches going into, just finished the fifth. Do you pull him no matter what?
How many pitches?
Can we say that again?
How many pitches?
Right, just a scenario. If he's at, like, 80 pitches.
I'm keeping him in for one more.
Keep him in for one more? I mean.
I think Tanaka's more in his own head than Paxton is, and so I think Severino's more in his own head than Paxton is.
So you think just...
I think you got to know your audience.
Well, that's exactly what happened with Sevy last night. I mean, Sevy was going to go into the fifth with 80-some pitches. He was going to go through the rotation for the third time, and they decided to pull him. And then they went through Canely and Ottavino, and then they went to Chad Green, who actually Chad Green kind of saved it a little bit, because if Chad Green wasn't pitching the way he did, what the hell do we do? We're not going to throw Lyons in there. I mean, even with Chad Green pitching well,
they showed Lyons warming up. Yeah. I was scared.
We still had to do because Britton was like banged up.
No, I
in
know,
hindsight, but,
yeah.
But yeah, at the time I wasn't sure.
I don't want that guy.
But
touching
I don't. I also the thing that I don't want, and the reason that I have such a problem with how the fifth inning went in terms of how we're switching up. I know it was an integral part of the game, and at that point it was, I believe, 2-1. Maybe.
Yeah,
I think
close.
It was 2-1, and like it makes sense. You're trying to get the matchups with Cruz. Like, you don't want, you know, whatever. But we need to be in a situation where Chapman can't be looked at to get 5 and 6 outs. He needs to be
three outs.
He all season, he did not throw for 6 outs one
last
time.
Night.
Well, they also
said saying.
Last night was the first night that he pitched outside of just one inning.
Right.
Since early 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he hasn't pitched in a while since... Did he pitch this?
Not in the last week. No, the game one he did.
Yeah, he did. He closed out
game one.
Yeah, but he only got two outs, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. But just in general, we like if say Ottavino didn't walk in just to throw, you know, four sliders that Cruz spit on and then get taken out, like, then he's pitching the eighth.
Yeah.
Or he's pitching the seventh and Britton's pitching the eighth. Like,
so what do you guys think about Ottavino? I mean, the exact opposite of what we're talking, or maybe this is a little too much, like, short leash on pitchers. Like, what do you guys think about Ottavino coming out after four pitches?
One time, that's fine, because they have used him in the regular season to get one batter out, and then that's it.
But he walked him, but, like,
well, yeah, but he went in to get Cruz out. That's what. And then if he got him out, maybe he would have stayed in. But, like, then he didn't, so,
but they,
like,
brought whatever. They didn't bring in a lefty. They brought in another
righty. But that slider, when you're a lefty, is a lot different than whatever Chad Green throws. Like, even though it's not righty-lefty, like...
No, there were two righties. That were
no, up. I know. But Chad Green came in. And Chad Green is probably – you'd rather have Chad Green thrown to a lefty than Ottavino because of how it's the nature of his slider and how that can –
Ottavino?
Yeah. Ottavino's – it's a frisbee. Like, if that hangs up on a lefty, it's going. That's why Ottavino's a righty specialist.
Isn't Nelson Cruz a lefty?
No, he's
a righty.
But he'll hit it to right field.
Well, yeah, they brought him in just for Cruz because they were hoping to get Cruz chasing his sliders, and he spit on all of them.
Dude, now that the series is over, like, we can give a little props to him. He's fucking good. He has to be on steroids, right?
Nah, we were saying that
already
last
was.
Night.
He already was once.
Yeah,
was
he got caught for it.
Yeah, a few years ago when he was on Baltimore.
Was I wouldn't doubt it.
I think he was. When he was on Texas.
I don't know.
Then he got traded.
She's using that as a ramp.
No, because then she was going up my leg before.
All right, continue.
The thing that's concerning me a little bit about Ottavino is that his slider is, first of all, disgusting. Everybody knows that, but, like, it's a little bit easy to identify it, and I feel like at this point everyone is going to be, especially on the Astros, with how disciplined of a hitting team they are, if they're just going to be taught to not even swing at the slider. Like, there's just, no matter what, unless it's two strikes, I guess, like, just don't swing at the slider. You're not going to touch it, and then he's going to miss for balls because he's not throwing it in the strike zone.
Well, he has to throw a fastball down and command the strike zone. That's just simple pitching fundamentals.
Right.
You can't throw three sliders outside the zone and him just watch all of them because he's never going to swing. That's just simple fundamentals.
Right. That's just exactly what happened with Cruz is all. And that's not going to – I don't Cruz was very disciplined, and Cruz walked. And if he comes in against the Astros –
he's the definition of a professional hitter.
They're
going to
be doing the same thing. Like, yeah.
The
you're right.
The last 10 years, it's 40 home runs.
38
a year.
40 home runs. You're right. But also, you know, Houston has very disciplined hitters, and they're going to be doing the same thing.
So I was talking to you guys yesterday briefly about this. I want to know what your opinions are on air about – I know, me personally, I would rather play the Dodgers in the World Series than the Nationals if it came down to it.
Why is that?
We're just way better against lefties. Playoff Kershaw is just a horrible player. Scherzer and Strasburg look like they're on fire. They strike fear into my heart as a right-handed pitcher.
I can see the argument. I can see the – because, I mean, they do have – disgust. They're not bad. Like, they're a really underrated team, and they might win this.
And
series.
They're hot.
It's 2-2 now, right?
They're hot.
It's
yes.
2-2.
They're going back to LA.
Game five in LA. Yeah.
They're both tomorrow. There's two game fives.
Scherzer. Strasburg against Buehler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both really fucking good teams. I think we're definitely better than both of them. And the main hurdle is the Astros. If we do play them, hopefully we don't, but. If we were to choose, you said you'd rather play the Dodgers?
I'd rather play the Dodgers.
I mean, we have shown that we can beat the Dodgers in their home stadium.
Yeah.
And pretty handedly
also. We cranked Ryu.
Also, Didi likes them.
We cranked Kershaw.
He hit that home run against them, too. Yeah,
I mean, I've seen Buehler blow it against so many easy teams this year. Like, you know what he can bring, but he can easily just shit the bed.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we're not saying these teams are bad. These teams are really fucking
good.
Not
in the slightest,
but I'm
saying...
Once you get to this point, they're all going to be good. So it's the better of two evils.
I'm nitpicking right now.
Yeah. And I think... But the reason why I'm not scared of anything is because if you look at that fucking lineup, 1-9, and Gio fucking Urshela is our 9 hitter...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And Didi, the one possibly bad, or weakest part of that lineup... is now red hot and hits that grand slam and gets going, and he's batting 8.
2 RBI singles last
year.
You're
fucked. And it's actually crazy when we watch the games and we see it get down. You got Edwin batting like 7. You got fucking Didi, then Gio. And they were like, oh, fuck, like DJ's up next. Mm-hmm. And then Judge. And then fucking Torres. And it's just crazy to me.
Well, I think the most surprising part, like, of the lineup, if you weren't somebody that followed the Yankees specifically this year, like, I don't know, like, I don't follow the Cardinals, for example, just because we were talking about them earlier. And then I go look at their lineup, and all of a sudden we have Gardy hitting three. Like, people would be like, what the hell? You'd think he'd be hitting later.
I thought that was the best decision
I agree.
Boone could have made in the entire
John
playoffs.
Smoltz laughed at it when he was talking about
fuck
it.
John Schmoltz. Fuck John Smoltz.
Yeah, that's a whole different argument. But, like, he was laughing at it. And then John he's literally replacing Didi. Because, you know, Didi always hit third, 2017 and 2018. He was hitting third. They wanted that lefty bat in that, you know, in the mix there. And now it's just Gardy instead of Didi because he's hitting more and he's literally producing in the three hole, which if you told me anywhere, any year before last year,
ever,
that Gardner would be hitting third in the fucking playoffs, are you kidding me?
Gardy has 28 home runs too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know how. He's Benjamin Button. I don't know.
He's hot as a pistol.
He's literally like a fine line.
Him and CeCe are the only ones left on the overall roster from the 2009 World Series team, but right now he's the only active member on the roster. That's a Yankees World Series champion. I mean, he's a veteran presence. He's been there.
He just got it going on.
It checks every box.
It's literally so funny because he's the most, like, the biggest veteran presence and everything like that. But he's also got, like, the young let the kids play part.
Because,
like,
he was never the guy.
He's literally 22 in a 40-year-old man's body. Yes. Like, he's just, yeah. I don't get it.
He's
and
got
I
a young
love
soul,
it.
Definitely.
And he. You could tell, like, giving him, putting him in the three spot, putting that faith in him for the first time in his long career, his good career, that'll do something for you, even if you're a veteran like he is. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's just something about that.
Like, what, a year and a half ago, he was the leadoff guy still?
Yeah. Dude, yeah, I mean,
it's not like he's that far off from, like, from
I know, I'm saying, like, in a three spot.
No, I know what you mean, how it just builds the confidence that you're putting him in that position. I mean, like,
you think he's changing his approach, trying to swing for the fences?
I mean, yeah, it has to be. There's no way he's...
We have a short porch, and he's a lefty. Why not take advantage of it?
He's been in the short porch forever.
But his role when he was leading off and hitting second wasn't to be an RBI or run producer.
You don't think he just hits? He's specifically trying to hit bombs now?
I don't think he's trying to hit bombs. He's just trying to hit... I think he's trying to hit for OPS more than he's trying to hit for...
I'm not upset about
base.
It.
Like, he's trying to, you know, yeah, he's utilizing the short porch. And once they realize, oh, he does have some pop for no reason, then
for no reason at all,
then now he's using it. And in the same way that Didi used it. Before Didi got to New York, they weren't like, oh, Didi's a guy who can hit, you know, 25, 28 home runs a year. Same thing with Gardner. And somehow, some way, it's happening, and it's sick that it's just sick, and we're going to rock with it.
Yeah.
Do you think coming up, I mean, I know we've had this argument on air before, but what's Stanton doing this series?
He's been a lot of. He's been iffy.
I saw a bad fielding play.
He's not really. He's not bad in the field, but he's definitely not an asset there, and you can see that because they're replacing him with Maven all the time.
Two memorable plays in left field of him missing.
But I feel like that's just because he saw Judge make those diving plays. He's like, oh, I want to try it, and then he just fucking. I mean, it didn't come back to bite us in the ass, and whether or not he's been getting walks too, so this actually feeds exactly into my argument. Whether or not he's getting the home runs or whatever, which they will come to because he's a great hitter, his presence in that lineup, like, you have to pitch around him. Are you telling me, no matter what his stats are on paper, you're not gonna pitch around Giancarlo Stanton? You're not gonna give him a fastball down the middle. You're not gonna just throw at him. Like, something about him, maybe you have to pitch around him, get around. But that's the thing about this lineup too, is. You can't pitch around people no matter what. Because the next guy up is Gary Sanchez. The next guy after that is Edwin. The next guy after that, Gleyber Torres. And, like, it just goes on and on and on, complete cycle. Like, that's so crazy because every single guy in this lineup is going to get pitches to hit. Every single guy. And it's almost like we were talking about, if we were to get Bryce Harper and we'd have Judge, Bryce Harper, and Stanton, then Bryce Harper would win MVP because he has those two guys, like, masking him. It's every guy masking each other. Like, it's just, they're so complimentary of each other. It's just amazing to see. And it's also amazing that we're taking advantage of it because guys are spitting on balls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're taking the walks. Like, Judge has gotten so many walks.
Well, Stanton has four walks.
That's a lot. That's a lot in three games.
Five?
I just looked up the stats.
Five. There you go. And that literally proves my point because him and everybody else in the team is spitting on balls. The pitch counts have been so high.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting guys out, and that makes me so excited for the Houston series because if we can do that, because they have to throw strikes, and if they try and throw balls, we're not taking them.
Mm-hmm.
So we are taking them. And that'll get the pitch count up. That'll get, and I mean, just in general, playoff baseball, pitch counts go up because every pitch matters more, and they do that. But I think with our lineup, there's more of that because they know that people are going to try and not throw strikes because everybody can fucking hit, you know? I don't know. I just love it.
Talking about Guardy before and now the pitch count. Now, Guardy's the king of running up the pitch count.
He loves it. 11 pitch at-bats every time.
I've never seen anyone just fight off pitches like him before. He's always battling back from an 0-2 count, 1-2 count.
I don't understand it. Foul balls. He's just such a gnat.
He's like the Cole Beasley, Julian Edelman.
Yeah. Like,
he's just there. He's always pitching, there, and he's annoying.
If I was pitching against him, he would piss me the fuck off. It's amazing. I love it. And especially because it's Gardner, too.
And it's kind of everybody in the Yankees lineup, too, which I think is the thing that just separates the Yankees from everybody else, is that 1-9, not an easy out. There's not a single person that you can say this is an easy out.
The easiest out is Didi or Gardner, and they work.
That's statistically, even realistically, it's not easy.
And also, they're the two lefties in the lineup, and they're the two that they look down on. And in Yankee Stadium, if you're like, oh, this is the easy out, like maybe
that's
I can get out. Maybe I can not throw 10 pitches in this at-bat.
And just try.
Guardy's going to foul off six of them and then hit it, you know, 316 to the short porch.
or in the short porch.
It's just, I don't know. They're just still such hard outs because Didi is due for one second deck short porch home run per series.
Never to left field.
No, short porch side. And then Gardner probably faces an average of like 8 pitches an at-bat in the postseason.
This just gets me so excited because this is literally what we were waiting for.
Do you consider putting Roman in?
For what?
I mean, no. Is Gary really about that well?
That also, like, no matter how bad Gary's doing, if he doesn't get a hit, it's literally that fear factor.
Again. I understand the presence is different than Romine, but again, I'm just talking statistically.
I think the only way you put Romine behind the plate is if Gary is abysmal fielding behind the plate, which he hasn't been. So I don't think there's any reason. His bat's just so dangerous. Yeah, you can't. It's another guy like Stan that they're going to pitch around. He's going to draw walks. Like, he's just still not an easy out. And even if his average isn't that high and whatever, then nobody's going to pitch any less hard to him. They're not going to try to get him to, they're not going to try to get him out on, two or three pitches. They're never going to pitch to contact with Gary because if you do, it's going to land in Queens. So,
once he gets going, too, he's a streaky player where, I went to that game, the ALDS against the Sox last year. He went out of the stadium.
Right.
And then the very next at-bat, he had another one. But that one didn't go out. But the other one literally left the stadium and landed on the fucking, what do they call it, Lansdowne Street? I don't know. Fuck the Sox. They're dead. But, yeah, dude, when that guy gets going, he gets fucking going. Mm-hmm. There is nothing stopping him. And that is scary as fuck because then you got another guy. When they're all hitting on all cylinders,
there's no one I want to see.
Nobody can stop us.
Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. MVP Stanton just walk in. And just
drop his dick on the
just
table.
Just put it on the table.
And just fucking
and just say, I'm back, boys.
And he will, dude.
I want Verlander to go at Stanton. Give him a 98 fastball down the dick. Let him see if he can get it and just take it for a ride.
Dude, we can hit any. We're trying to paint this picture, too.
Maven comes in. Hits
a home run.
Yeah, he comes into field for Stanton, which makes total sense. Every seventh inning, it's going to happen.
The Maven method.
The whole postseason, they're going to keep doing that.
Put up the runs and then defense.
And then Maven comes in as a defensive guy and then hits one out. That whole ball, we were all sitting there watching the game. And we were like, oh, that's probably a fly ball to the left. Maybe it'll go foul. Like, I was thinking more likely it's going to go foul than gone. And then all of a sudden, it just kept going. And we were, like, hitting each other. Like, oh, and then it's gone. Like, just sneaky home run. Like, it's just so cool.
What was it? It was, like, 340 or something. Like, it just creeped out of there.
Yeah, it went out. Didn't think it was.
I mean, it's crazy that our defensive replacements, like, the of last year's, the Danny Hechevarias, ours now is Cameron Maben, who we literally acquired for a Venmo transaction. Like, Hal Steinbrenner actually hit up the Indians, was it?
Yeah.
The Indians GM and was like, yo, what was it, $300,000? He sent him a Venmo.
And a bag of chips.
And, they fucking gave lunch for the next year. Like, a vending machine.
Shake Shack.
Or, like, it just something. He did nothing for this guy. This guy, and I feel awesome, too, because he's such a cool guy. Locker room guy, which is huge for Murph. And the hug thing, the fucking, just, like, he just, everybody likes him. It's just something about that. Even off the field, if you're not playing, like, just something about that and just brings the whole team together. Like, everyone's after it.
We got to talk about how hot Gleyber is.
I mean, guy's fucking better than
Jesus Christ, Mike Trout. This is the guy.
This is the guy. That
Gleyber Torres is the guy.
Gleyber Ruth, baby.
I mean, Babe Ruth.
I mean, in the playoffs so far, he's batting .417. He's the youngest person on the Yankees to hit a postseason home run since Jeter.
Should say something.
I mean, he made multiple Gold Glove esque plays last night.
It says something when even fucking Murn last night. He's a Mets fan, by the way. For those who don't know, he was like, he shits on Judge all the time.
He shits on the Yankees.
Yeah. He shits on everybody. And he said Judge is good. He shits on him all the time, though. But he said Gleyber Torres. He said, I can say anything about Aaron Judge. Gleyber Torres is Derek Jeter. He does literally nothing wrong.
We're going to be seeing, coming up in the next couple of years, Juan Soto and Gleyber Torres just as...
Soto is filthy.
There's always the headliners. There's always just like a... they come in generationally. Like it was Trout and Harper Trout and at one Harper. Point. It was A-Rod and Jeter at one point. It was like... Just these kind of going up.
Acuna, too.
Acuna. Like, I don't know. Somehow.
Those three. Three.
I guess. But Gleyber Didi is
the swaggiest infield in the league, though.
Yeah.
What?
Gleyber and Didi? That's the swaggiest infield in
it
the
wouldn't have been
league.
As swaggy as if the Cubs kept him, which thank you, by the way, Cubs, if you're listening, which
they got the World Series.
I mean, I think on a
swag, I know, but at the same time.
Javi and Gleyber versus Gleyber and Didi, it's close, but you just got to give.
Javi and Didi get that. Javi and Gleyber get that.
The Cubs giving Gleyber Torres to us for a rental Chapman in a World Series ring was literally them selling their soul to the devil. They got what they wanted, and now they're fucked. That's it. They got their one ring, and now we're going to be
Anthony Rizzo's overrated. But you know
what? I like that, though, because that's what the overall goal of – like I hate when some teams are gun-shy, like – you look at this fucking deadline. Or no, this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, teams like that are poised, who have the opportunity to win to make the playoffs. People don't want to just make the playoffs to be like, oh, if we're not going to win, we got juggernauts like the Astros and the Yankees. Like, why does it matter? Like, for example, the White Sox. They had a shit division. Shit division. The best team was the Indians, Twins. Who were selling Twins. Off a little
the
bit.
Twins.
And the Twins. But we didn't expect them to be this good. But it was a winnable division. And they had so much money, and they could have went out, and they tried to get Machado, but they should have fucking sweetened the deal, get guys like him. Like, I mean, guys like DJ LeMahieu were available. Like, do a little research.
I don't know. I think the White Sox are different because, I mean, we're getting a little off, but, like, the White Sox are young. Like, they're trying to build up and then make a push kind of the same way the Cubs did.
Don't throw $300 million at a 29, 30-year-old baseball player. Oh, it never works.
Yeah.
Well, if anything,
nine out
that.
Of the top highest paid contracts in the MLB aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's literally Stanton, and he played 8 regular season games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These big contracts
never work.
Don't work.
Yeah. It's in the Nationals are like the cream of the crop, like textbook example of that because they had an opportunity. They could have probably
they
signed
had him.
Harper.
They had him.
They had Harper. They could have signed him for 13 years for $350 million. But they said, hey, not worth it. And by the way, in the offseason, I said it wasn't worth it for us. But then Philly goes up and they pay up because they're fucking dummies.
Yeah.
And then now Rendon outproduces Harper by a million.
Yeah, but now they're saying Rendon, who's 30 years old, is also now going to get offered a seven-year, 200-something million contract.
I don't know if we get
very similar to what Scherzer has. But, I mean, look.
Let's bring it back a little to the Yankees a little.
Yeah. Sorry, but Anthony Rendon is not worth 200-something million dollars. Yeah. Let's go back to the Yankees. Yeah,
so... Let's talk. What do you guys think about that fucking bullshit with how like they're shitting on Yankees fans for the Uber chants? Like, fuck you. That's the softest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I don't even think it's worth going too
Dude,
far.
Dude, in
into
high
it.
School,
yeah,
in no, but in high school, whenever we'd be at the basketball games, the football games, we'd find out so and so the quarterback's mom or the sister, and we use what we had, and we just fucking say like, oh, like anything. Like, we use
that's
what
why
you,
he won't win.
You
use
what you got.
A mental midget, then
use what you got. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's just, yeah, it's soft serve. I mean,
that's all they knew about the guy.
Also,
the guy
there
sucked.
Was also probably an Uber chant in every single game he pitched and an away ballpark.
Yeah, and they just
year.
Happened
like,
to be
thing.
On a
just,
brighter,
yeah,
whatever. Bigger spotlight,
who
whatever.
Cares?
But in that game, we didn't talk about that game. We talked about playoff Tanaka and how he's amazing. But that game, actually, they used the pen a little differently, too. They used Lyons, who actually pitched pretty well, who I don't want to see on the field regardless.
Well, CC will take a spot in the CS.
And probably. Then Loaiziga closed it out. So, they were up early that game, though. So, that was 8-2 the final. So, I mean, that was the game that Didi broke it open with that grand slam.
Seven-run third inning, you know.
I mean, done.
What more do you
Clap
want from
your
the
hands.
Guy?
That's the end of the fucking series for them. That's when it was over. Like the,
it was a ticking time bomb.
The DD Grand Slam put them under. They're like, fuck. Yeah.
The second they had bases loaded and DD was up, every single Twins fan in the state of Minnesota knew where that ball was going.
Minnesota.
Dude, you could see it on his face, too. Like, we were sitting...
He tried not to smile.
No, we were sitting in the bar, and we were like, yo, is it fair or foul? Like, based on his reaction to it. Mm-hmm. And it went out. But then we saw from his perspective, that ball was easily fair from his perspective.
That was a line
drive. So he knew right away, and his... Just, like, you saw the devil coming out of him. Like, you saw, like... Thank the fucking
God. He needed it.
God. Like, right, he needed back. That more than he could breathe.
Could not have been better timing either.
I mean, yeah. And he just fucking... Didi...
Nothing's just prettier than a Didi home run.
I love it. He pimps everything. Dude, that clip of him hitting that home run. What?
The only thing prettier than a Didi home run might be the Judge home run. Just whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
They're but, both gorgeous.
Yeah, but he needed that more than anything. And that is just... I feel so great for him. Like, that was amazing, and that put that game on ice.
I agree.
Yeah. Any game where you can win a game with Tyler Lyons and Loaiza closing out for, like, the last four, that's perfectly fine with me. Yeah, the Tanaka went five, and they went the last four, right?
The Yankees just went up against a 100-plus win team and just told them to go kick rocks.
Yeah, I was listening to the post game, and they were even, like, the random analyst, even Big Poppy, were saying, like, this team is insane. Like, this team is really good. They just... actually demolished a 101 win team.
Yeah.
They fucked them up. And we did. I mean, it just goes to show you, this team isn't in it to just make the ALCS again. Like, this team's in it to win the fucking World Series. Yeah. Let's go out and fucking win the whole damn thing.
I agree.
So, I mean, say it any better. Let's go into...
I think we need to talk one thing. It came especially into, I don't know, sight in Game 3. And it went all game, it went all the games, but the fielding was just like the Yankees aren't specifically supposed to be this overwhelmingly good fielding team. But Judge made two or three plays in the series that nobody else in the MLB that plays outfield could have made. Glaber all over the place. That play in the hole on the shift, I could have watched it later and, you know.
What, the Glaber one?
It was.
On the deep shift in right field.
Didi's, and
DJ's
catch in the ninth.
No, DJ's pick too. Do everything. You can write a book about all these plays.
Unreal.
Like, people don't talk about that. And we knew that. We knew the team is low key. I mean, that infield alone.
Mm-hmm.
That infield with DJ playing first, Glaber playing second, Didi, and then
Gio.
Like, that's
one of the best.
Unbelievable infield for fielding.
Best fielding infield.
And then you got Judge in right field. You got Gardy, who's a good center fielder, and then Maben when he comes back in, but like Stanton.
Yeah.
And then Gary's a fucking hell of a fielder back there with a cannon.
Yeah, he just has a rocket attached to his
arm. We're just a great fielding team, and that's so underappreciated because that saves runs. I mean, there's a stat, literally defensive runs saved. And that.
I'm pretty sure our outfielders led the league.
Talkman when we had
Judge, Talkman and.
I miss Talkman.
Hicks. Was it Hicks, the third one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't in for that.
That's crazy how good our outfield is.
I kind of forgot two starters.
We're missing our two like starters for most of the year are gone, and our outfield is still Guardian Span. Yeah,
that's crazy. And I fucking love it. I mean, let's talk about. I was saying it last night, but still on the fielding topic, we're talking about Judge's fielding and how, like, that has to be his height and the ability to rob home runs just by standing there and like his length and. Like, how he can dive after balls. And, like, even that catch that was going to be over anybody else's head in the world. And he needed it every inch of 6'12" or whatever he is to get that ball. That has to be considered in a gold glove. And I feel like they're never going to give it to him just because, like, just because it looked too easy for him. He just stood there and got it.
He's 6'6".
Compare him back. Exactly. Compare him back to
Mookie.
Any other player ever. Like, that if Mookie makes that play,
Mookie gets it.
Yes, but if he makes that play, it looks spectacular, right?
Because yeah.
Judge makes that play, and it's the same play, which that's what you should be comparing them to, and it's the same play, and it's overlooked by Judge because it's so, like.
Well, even the play
he's made to do that, you know.
Right. Not even a play specifically like last night where he caught the ball, but Eddie Rosario last night was 3-for-4 with a double off the wall, and they have the very high right center field wall, which any other stadium most of those. Hits her out. Aaron Judge barehanded off the wall, rocket to second, and held him up at
his
first.
Arm. Yeah,
I was just about to mention that.
Like, You can't teach that. And that's a double for anyone else if anyone else is in right field. Yeah.
Bro, when you see the guy who – I don't know if it's the same player you're talking about, but when he hit it off the wall and the guy was rounding first and he just stopped right there.
Because I think it was that one.
Because he knew, like, dude, that's Aaron Judge. I saw it on Twitter all the time, and he's like – it was a quote. He's like, bro, that's Aaron Judge. Back up, fam.
He went there back was the to other first. One. I think it was also Rosario, but when he actually had a double, like, it was such an easy double. We all thought it was out originally off the bat. Took a weird hop off the wall. There was no way he could have gotten him at second. Like, we weren't even thinking about that as a possibility. Like, we were thinking it was going to be a cut three. Judge just zipped one into second, and, like, he had to slide. Like, it wasn't that close of a play, but, like, anybody else is just cut three or whatever. Like, hit the cut. He could have had him if he was slower.
He has a rocket on his arm.
It
holds runners.
If you're pushing,
really important.
If you're like really trying to push to get second and Judge has the ball, go the fuck back to first base.
Get back home.
Actually, no. Please try and get it.
I love it.
Please.
All right.
You wanted to say, let's, all right. So we're going to start wrapping up this podcast. But as we move through it, like, when we're forecasting with these next two, we don't know who we're playing yet. It's probably going to be the Astros, but one of my friends told me that he would rather face the Astros because he's more scared of the Rays. Is that a
no?
In anybody, thank you.
No. Stop that. Stop that thought.
In
Stop.
Anybody's mind, because his argument was he doesn't like the Trop and the uncertainty that is the Rays. But like,
Trop's a home game for us.
Look, it's literally a home game.
You think I'm more scared of Tommy Pham and Tyler Glasnow than Altuve, Correa, Springer, Bregman, Gurriel, Alvarez, Verlander?
Yeah, no, that's not even that's not even a moderately competitive.
That's not even a thought. No,
I brought it up.
The only thing I
shout
want
out
the
your
Rays
friend
to do.
He's an idiot.
Yeah,
I just want the Rays to win. They played tonight at 7. I just want them to push it to Game 5. It's going to be a huge advantage for us if they can somehow manage.
Hell
to
yeah! Because then that makes
be
us
so cool.
Then we miss. Game one, we miss
Cole
and Verlander. Yeah, depending on how they want to do
it. It would probably be Grinke or maybe Ver.
And if you open up a series with Grinke, because that would be Grinke at home.
Then maybe
for them. So if we take that for game one in their home park and we get – and that doesn't like – because it's hard to get home wins there. We don't like playing in Minute Maid. But if we can have him start game one with all the momentum going, get that first game with Grinke there, and then we could even lose the next game. Like whatever, we might not, but it would be –
Verlander, if we can steal one in
Houston. Then we rock the stadium at home. I'll probably go to that. I'm going to empty my bank account on that because it's just so fun.
Might as well be the World Series.
Yeah, it's pretty much the World Series. But I think we're going to start wrapping it up.
Yeah,
we are doing a giveaway. So for those, it's going to be mentioned in the comments. So what the rules are, so what you have to do is DM us this secret little sentence, and if you DM us this, then we're gonna put you in a raffle and you have a chance to win a free t-shirt. The secret sentence is Glaber is better than Babe Ruth. So DM us that and you could get a free t-shirt, and he actually is better than Babe Ruth. So there's that.
That's a topic for the next episode.
Yeah, we'll get to that one in a little deeper of a context. So let's go out and let's fucking watch some baseball that doesn't even matter to us, huh?
Let's see who we're playing in the next fucking series, boys.
Let's go. Let's go win the whole goddamn thing.